Today, we wrap up our series, Focus 2020. What is it that we are focusing on? As we begin, I want to ask you a question. What is the most popular poster ever sold in the United States? Think about that for a minute. What most popular poster ever sold in the United States? Maybe you're thinking it was some kind of movie poster. Maybe Star Wars or Rocky something. I don't know. Is that what you're thinking? Or maybe you're thinking about Rosie the Riveter. That was one that was pretty popular. Or maybe you're thinking, okay, it's Uncle Sam wants you. None of those are correct. And I know some of you don't want to admit it, but maybe the most popular poster ever sold was in 1976, Farrah Fawcett in her red swimsuit. You think that might be the poster? It sold over 12 million copies, but I obviously wouldn't have that one here to show you on a Sunday morning. So what do you think is the most popular poster? Well, I'm about to show you. Here it is. That's right. Isn't it wonderful? Don't you want to frame that and put it at home? It is the Snellen chart. The Snellen chart is used to measure vision and to correct vision, and it's in medical offices throughout the country and has been sold more than any other poster because vision is important to us. And to help us understand just briefly what 2020 vision is, we thought we would ask our own Jeff Hutchison, who's an ophthalmologist, about what is 2020 vision. Take a listen.
To me, 20/20 is a technical term that describes a person's visual acuity as measured on an eye chart of some form. If I were to tell you that you have 20/20 vision, that means that you can see from 20 feet away what a normal eye can see from 20 feet away. So although we have come to associate 20/20 with all things perfect, 20/20 actually describes only normal vision, not perfect vision.
Well, we all want to have good vision, perfect vision, normal vision, however we describe it. And we put a lot of energy and effort into having glasses and contacts because vision is important to us. Vision helps guide us to where we need to go. And so this year, when you hear 2020, of course, we've all thought about having good vision. And that's what we want to aim at and look at today and what we've been looking at in this series. Because we begin this year and saying, God, how can you direct us? How can you guide our vision? And we've been saying all along that focus determines direction, and direction determines destination. So what are we focusing on? If we focus on the right things, we'll end up in the right places. And our key verse throughout this series has been Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Say it with me. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This idea of fixing our eyes, focusing on Jesus and seeing where he is and where he leads and where he guides, that is going to lead us to the right places. And so we've been looking at various areas of our life. We began by looking at faith and this focusing on Jesus as we saw Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on water towards Jesus. His focus was on him and it gave him courage and it gave him strength and he experienced something supernatural. What do we want God to do in our lives and how can we focus on him as he writes our faith and our life story? The other week, then, we also talked about our finances, such an important part of our focus, and how do we put Christ first? How do we put the things of heaven in the first place and focus on those and see what happens in our generosity? As we become generous to the things of God, God promises his generosity towards us. Do we trust him in that and put our focus on him first? And then last week, we talked about fitness, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit living in us, and how do we take care of our bodies and our fitness and our health? Because it allows us to be used by God in the best way possible. What is your healthiest you that we've been looking at? And so I just kind of wonder, have you been working on your God bod? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch last week's video. But we're so focused on all these different pieces, and God gives us guidance and direction. And while we all have our individual dreams and hopes and focuses and things that we want to look at in our own lives when it comes to our faith or our finances and our fitness and all other kinds of goals we have, what is it that links us together? And what does it look like when we have a shared focus, a common focus? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to focus on mission. Focusing on mission, because how do we as a body of Christ here, a local expression of God's church, get focused on the same things? As we're at the beginning of a year, as we're looking ahead towards what God has for us, how do we do that at a Bethel campus and with the Powell campus and others online and all of us together heading in the same direction, ending up in the same destination? That is so important to our vitality as a church and what we want to do. And so that is our focus today, because when we look at Scripture, when Jesus had this prayer, he was meeting with his disciples. We read about it in John chapter 17, actually, and he's talking, he's praying to his Heavenly Father. And he's saying to the disciples around them, he's praying, he said, God, I pray for my not only my disciples, but for all who will ever believe because of their message. And what is his prayer? That they might be one. That we would be as united as he was with his Father. That we would be one. There's a power in one. There's a power in focusing together on the same thing and going in the same way. We're seeing it right now in football season in the NFL. We're heading towards the Super Bowl next Sunday. We're going to have a great party at our church and celebrate just the fun that we have in our culture, but also the power of team and the power of one and teams that are focused on that common goal and working together, what is possible and what they can accomplish. And so I think about that, and I think about how that is even more important for us in the church. This last week, we also saw the power of vision, the power of focus on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And so this past week, as every year when it's this time of the year and we focus on his life and legacy and the impact that he had, I love to watch his I Have a Dream speech. And I watched it with our girls this last week, too. I was like, if you get a day off of school, we're going to look at this and focus at this. And every time I hear it, it gives me goosebumps. It actually chokes me up. It brings tears to my eyes. There's something so passionate and so powerful as he shares this dream. And here's just a couple lines from this amazing speech. I have a dream that one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. Such a simple image that he captures, but such powerful, powerful images for us to strive towards. But not only does he look at the next generation and in other places, he looks very personally. He says, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And just with soaring rhetoric and just with power in his voice and conviction, he closes out, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. And those words continue to ring through our nation. And we see that it wasn't only his dream, it was a shared dream. He spoke the words of a dream that was held by so many, not only there on that day, but throughout the generations, and a dream we continue to pursue. It's the power of a dream, the power of a vision, the destination, the place we want to get to. But you know what? We have a dream too. And I have a dream. And I believe we together as a church have a dream. What is it that we are dreaming for together? When I picture the church, and I want to talk about that today in a lot of different ways, but I just picture because of what we do together that heaven will be more full. That I picture a church that is alive and vibrant and reaching out to the community and sharing the faith with those who don't know Christ, walking alongside of them, sharing together in worship, growing in faith, serving, finding our purpose, reaching out to others. It is a picture of a church alive in this generation, not relegated to some corner of society, irrelevant to what's going on, but a church right in the thick of what's happening, right in the middle of what is going on in this day and age, reaching out to the next generation. When I think about Martin Luther King, what he shared in that moment, he knew it was that generation's responsibility to try to make it different for his kids. And for those that are following along, that their future would look and feel different. And we have a huge responsibility to do the same. So what is it that we are focusing on? If our focus determines direction and the direction, the destination, what is our destination? As followers of Jesus Christ, as Meadow Park, as a church. And if we know the destination, well, then where does our focus need to be in order to get there, to take those steps? And that's what we want to look at today. So we think about the destination. What is our destination as a church? Where is it that we're trying to go? What's our calling? And it might sound too simple to say, we are called to be the church. And what is the church? The church is literally the body of Christ in this day and age. It's the living reality of Christ's presence in this world. He said, he empowered us, and he left to say, you are now the church. You are now Christ's presence in this world. So what Jesus did, where he went, how he taught, what he told us to do is what we do to continue that mission and to continue that calling. And so that's why we need to focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because when we focus on him, we get to see through Jesus' eyes. We get to hear what he called us to so that we can get our direction right and reach the destination of being the church that he has called us to be. Two key pieces that have guided the church for hundreds of years. And even at Meadow Park, these are the two key pieces in our bylaws that say this is why we exist as a church. And it's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment says this. Jesus was asked, what is the most important thing in the kingdom of heaven? What is the most important commandment? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in Mark, we read, and with all your strength. And he goes on, he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. These have been a guiding marker for generations of Christians. That really, when Jesus boils it all down, he says, the most important thing is you're loving God with everything you have. Our worship, our heart, our strength. We talked about that last week as the temple of God, our worship to him. And then he says, and then take that love and you pour it out to the neighbor, to the others around you. And that is a guiding call for us. But then we also have the great commandment. And when Jesus was leaving, it's important when we think about people's last words. What is it they want to impart? What is it that they still want to say before they go? And Jesus gathered his disciples, and we read in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he says this, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What Jesus was saying is like, all right, I have prepared you, I have trained you, now you need to go, you need to go from here. You're on a mission. A co-mission, a mission together that we share. And in that mission, we want to make more believers, more disciples, and we're going to baptize them. That's leading them to know and to love Jesus Christ, but not only to lead them to faith, but to what? To teach them to obey everything I've commanded. That's why we gather here on Sundays. We gather in small groups. We take time in our own personal devotions to understand what is it that Jesus is teaching us. We need to obey what he says to us about our finances, about our fitness, about our faith, all the things we've been talking about. And so this obedience is a part of teaching that and as the role of the church to impart that. And of course, the comfort of knowing he is with us every step of the way. That's the destination. That's where we're trying to head, and it's our mission and our calling. And at Meadow Park, we just kind of have a simple statement that has so much more behind it, but inspires us. When we talk about our mission, we say that we will do whatever it takes to help people experience life to the fullest in Christ. There's so much in that statement that we're going to even unpack today in different ways, but this commitment to say, that's our focus. And whatever we have to do is we're going to pursue that calling because we want to see people alive in Christ, that they would experience the fullness of life in Christ, which comes from loving God with everything they have, loving others, and going out and making more disciples. We come alive when that happens. And so that's our destination. So what do we need to do to get there? What do we need to focus on? So as a church, when we think about our focus, if that's the destination, the way we see it, say it here all the time is belong, believe, and become. Belong, believe, and become. And as a staff and in leadership and our ministries, this is what we are focusing on. These are the environments that we seek to create because we believe life change happens in these environments. And when we experience belonging, believing, and becoming, we will experience life to the fullest in Christ. We will live out the great commandment, and we will be on the great commission together with Christ. And so let me just break these down for us this morning, because this is important for us to be together on this as we focus in 2020 on what God has called us to. The first is belonging. Belonging is talking about Christ-centered community. We are together with Christ at the center. We get a snapshot of this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 44 and 47. Here's what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. And then it ends with, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We have this amazing snapshot of the early church who, right after Jesus left, now they're figuring out, how do we do this together? And they devoted themselves to each other, centered in Christ, on his teachings, on his commandments, praying together, sharing the Lord's Supper together, sharing their goods and their resources, and caring for one another. And the community around them began to take notice of the love and connection and unity in this body and how they lived that out, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That meant people were coming to faith in Christ. They were seeing that there was room for others who didn't know him, who through this experience of community began to discover, I want to know Christ. I want to be a part of that. This is what life is about. And that is how the power of Christ-centered community. And so when I see belonging at our church, I want us to open our doors wide, that this is a place where there is room for others to come, to explore, to be a part of what God is doing, that in our community, we host people well, we love people well, we love them in the community, and that we share these experiences together with one another. We have to understand there is always room for one more at the table. We will always add another chair. We will always find the space, and we need to lead with open arms and an invitation, inviting culture, where we say with others, come and share with me. I want to tell you what God is doing. I want you to see and experience the church, God's people at its best, the way we love one another, the way we care for one another. When I see that in our community groups and the way that we engage and share each other's stories, pray for one another, dive deeper into God's word, hang out together and talk here in worship and spending time outside of church activities together, just enjoying life and the richness of what it means to share life together. This is the picture of community. And so many people don't know that they can be welcome in the church, and if they're good enough, and we want to say, you're welcome here. No matter what your past is, no matter what you're going through right now, there is grace and love and forgiveness and acceptance here to walk and begin that journey with Christ. And we want to come alongside and help people in that journey of community, Christ-centered community, experiencing what that love looks like. We talk about believing. What is believing? It's about spiritual vitality. It's not just to be a part of a group and experience community, but Christ-centered community, believing. We are spiritually alive. In a world that has so much spiritual deadness and dryness, looking for hope in all the wrong places, we hold the wonderful, life-giving truth of Christ, and not just his truth, but his spirit in us. John 10:10, which is a foundation for our mission statement as well, says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's what Jesus said, that the thief is trying to rob us of life, but he says this, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The fullness of life, that's being alive spiritually. I don't know where you are, if you are alive spiritually, if you are dead, but that's why we exist as a church. That's why we gather for worship when Jesus said they will worship in spirit and in truth. It's not just truth and teachings and doctrine. It's the living word of God. The power to change our lives, the power to redirect us in directions that lead us to life, and the spirit of God that it comes alive in us. So when we gather and worship, we want these to be celebrative moments. That we come before God saying, God, we love you with all that we are, mind, soul, body, strength. God, you are first, the great commandment to love God with everything we have. And we come together and we do that. And so I see this part of believing for us that we teach the next generation. We teach our kids and Park Kids, and we have our student ministry and our college ministry and our groups where we go. This is what it means to grow in our faith, to have that firm foundation, to come alive in Christ. One of the greatest celebrations we ever have is baptism. When it marks that, when somebody steps forward and says, I have surrendered my life to Christ, I am all in for him, and we celebrate those amazing moments, and we've got to celebrate that with many people this past year. Or when we end our worship services and I say, you know, like, let's pray this prayer. If you want to receive Christ, if you're ready to take that step of faith and raise your hand, and many of you have done that, and as you take that step, that is being born into the kingdom of God. That is why we exist. That is why we're here. And that is the pursuit of the direction of going and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to baptize and lead people to know Christ and to come alive in him. Then we talk about becoming. Because it's not just enough to belong and to believe and then kind of say, all right, I'm done now. Becoming is living out our purpose. There's a reason God placed us here. There's a reason he told us. He said, go and make disciples, right? Teach them. He's put us on a mission. We read another place in Scripture, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. That's the believing, right? He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has things planned for you. He has a purpose for you. When he created you, he said, I have a reason that you are here, a mission for you to accomplish, the good works that I want you to do, and I want you to be about those. And when you give your life to Christ and you see my life is now lived for him, the becoming is being transformed, discovering your purpose, being a part of what God is doing, being on mission together, and understanding, as Scripture tells us, we have been given a gift. God has blessed us in some way where there's something that you have in you that through his spirit, he has said, this is what you need to bring to the body. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe it's your sharp mind and thinking. Maybe it's your spirit and discernment. Maybe it's your leadership. Maybe it's in just your ability to pull from God's word and to speak his truths. Maybe it's just being just serving people, a great heart to serve and love in whatever capacity, or to be on mission. So many ways God has gifted us. How do we become a part of that? And at Meadow Park, we talk about living love. We don't just want to talk about love and transformation. We want to live that out in the community. We want to have global impact. I can't wait for this next month in February. We begin a new series called Impact Your World. And we'll be talking about ways that we want to impact locally through our Live Love efforts and be involved and engaged. We're going to be talking about globally the partnerships we're strengthening and the teams that we're wanting to send so that we can personally engage with people here and far and near, here in our building, the way that we serve the community through our facility. So many ways that we share. And when we give and when we serve, we grow. That's becoming. And when we say together, not just in our time and our talents, but in our treasures, in our giving, I'm investing in this together. We're sharing resources for the kingdom of God. There's a power and a strength in that. Belonging, believing, becoming, being a part of what God is doing. We have that common vision, that common focus. And when we get about it, it's powerful. But here's the thing. If we have the wrong focus, we reach the wrong destination, don't we? It's easy for us to get off focus. It's easy for us to get sidetracked by other things. We're seeing it right now in Washington. It's terrible what we see going on. Sometimes it doesn't even feel about what's best for the country and where we need to go. It just seems to be about bipartisan bickering and infighting and gridlock and about power and control. And we see as a nation, we look and go, this cannot be what it means for us to move forward in a common vision. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so as I think about this, and I think about for our church and for any church and for Christ's followers, we have this clarion call of the great commandment and the great commission, but how easy it is for us to get off track and not share that same vision. And when we don't share a same vision, it causes division. And what is division? Di means two visions. When you have two visions, which one do you follow? You don't end up in the same direction. That's why focus is important. If your eyes are blurry and you cross your eyes or you can't see and things are out of focus or you're seeing multiple things, we need clarity and we need to be on the same page walking together. And so we can get so off track and so easy for us in the church if we've been around for and following Christ for a lot of years. We get comfortable and we say, yes, belonging is great. I belong, but we forget about the others that aren't here yet and how we need to get uncomfortable so that others can be comfortable. It's so easy to get into a country club mentality in the church where this is mine and I'm familiar and these are my friends and this is where I hang out. And I love that we can experience that kind of community. But when it becomes closed off and we only see ourselves, we're missing the commission, that great commission that says, bring others in, open our hearts and doors to those around us. When it comes to our worship and we think there's only my way and it's about what I receive versus what I bring. No matter what song is being played, no matter what music, no matter what the volume, no matter what instrument is used and what setting, it's what we bring to worship, not what we come in to receive on that day. And so what do you bring and how do you say, I am here and I'm engaged and I'm praying and I'm ready when I come on a Sunday morning to give my praise to God? We've got to get focused together. When we think about our becoming and so easy for us to say, you know, we get a consumer mentality in the church. Where it's like, others are serving my kids in children's ministry and in student ministry, and there's just a bunch of volunteers that do other stuff in the church and in serving, but not for me. I'm not involved. I come and I worship and I receive, but at one point, do we understand I am called to be a part of this mission as we find our way into that belonging, into that community to say, now I'm a part of that. What do I need to do? Where do I need to give? How can I serve and not be caught up in this consumer mentality of what's in it for me? Or just hoping others will come. We need to go. We need to be involved. We need to be engaged. And just as your pastor and so an important reminder for all of us and our church, when we want to move forward, we've come a long way as we've been walking in this new direction, this new mission together. But I will not stand for the negativity. We cannot leave that room for that in our congregation. Backbiting, infighting, rumors, bad assumptions, questioning people's motives. I know that's not widespread. Thank God it's not. But I think we need to continue to be reminded we cannot have that and expect God to bring blessing and to move us and to guide us forward. Our focus is in the wrong places. Let's assume the best in each other. Let us believe the motives that are there. Let us focus on the gospel of Christ and what he's called us to, helping others and to belong, to believe, and to become, pursuing the great commandment and the great commission. Now, I know I've made some mistakes in my time here, in times where I've let people down, where I've hurt someone in the way I've said something, places and times where I've moved too fast, or I've not listened well enough or communicated well enough. And it hurts me to know that someone has been hurt through that. And I ask for forgiveness on that. And we all mess up. We make mistakes. But I also know that we are committed to what God has called us to do. I know that we have a leadership that is ready to do what needs to be done to pursue what God has called us to pursue. That we might be one. To seek one another, to seek God together, to pray together. To lose an us versus them mentality or to be on different sides. We are on the same side together pursuing what God has called us to do. And as I look at 2020, I'm excited for what God has called us to do. You see, when we have the right destination and we have the right focus and where we want to go. Now, here's the thing. You actually have to go. We actually have to get moving. To do, we actually have to take steps in that direction. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and I want this to be an encouragement to us today. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I love that. That's what happens when we get the right focus and we're saying we're not going to focus on the wrong things and we're not going to distrust or have wrong assumptions. We're here to motivate one another. And what do we motivate one another to? Do the good works. Pursue what God has called you to do. Get involved. Cheer me on. I need you cheering me on as much as you need me to cheer you on. To encourage one another. Say, go after it. We need the older generation to look at the younger generation and say, do it, go after it. We believe in you. I love seeing young people for God. What else can we do? What else can we give and sacrifice so that the next generation might know Christ and express their love and faith in him, that we can be a multi-generational church together serving Christ? Encourage one another. And don't neglect meeting together. Because one thing I know is you can't encourage somebody if you're not with somebody. I just shared this past week with somebody who I said, I miss seeing you on Sundays because of the spirit that you bring, the life and joy that you have. It encourages me. And when we come together, there's power. And so what can we do to encourage one another to just not stop meeting together, but to be motivating to one another, to encourage one another? And the urgency, as Paul writes here, or the author in Hebrews writes, that now is the time. He's saying there's an importance of the mission. We cannot get sidetracked by insignificant things or unimportant things. Let's focus on the main things. What God is really wanting to do. I look back at 2019 for our church and I see great things that have been accomplished. When I think about the journey that we've been on and I look through that year and I think, wow, God, you've done some amazing things. You've led people to faith in you. There's people in the kingdom of heaven because of the ministry that we shared together last year. There were baptisms that have taken place because of what we have done and the faithfulness of God working through our church. I think about that Easter Sunday and the wonderful celebration where a service unlike many that I've ever experienced in my life, reminding me that God can do some amazing things in our church. We saw new groups being formed and people stepping into community groups in new ways. About 230 people in our congregation understanding the importance of being together in community. We sent teams on missions to Honduras. We did Live Love locally here with hundreds of us being involved serving the local community. Dayton Disaster Relief. We had wonderful Christmas Eve services and new guests coming through our doors. We are loving and serving the people around us, the generations, young and old, and God is working in our midst. As I think about this year ahead, what is it that we're trying to do? Where are we going? And I just want to tell you, we are trying to build on the base, the core foundations of our ministry. That we want to continue to strengthen belonging, and we want to see more of you involved in groups, experiencing Christ-centered community. Some of you need to step out and say, I'm ready to lead a group. I want to help others. I want to be a part of that type of community. I want to open my doors and allow other people in. We want to continue to really grow our invitation culture. Can't wait for the series that we have coming up in March and April. talking about you're invited in all the ways that we see Christ inviting people into life to the fullest. And we want to invite others and have that boldness and courage. When it comes to our worship ministries and believing, we're looking for ways to strengthen our discipleship path, to help people on-ramp into faith, to help people take those first steps, and to help others connect into community and understand who we are. To continue with vibrant worship, life-giving worship that celebrates God, that lifts our spirits, that encounters the Holy Spirit. That we would leave here on a Sunday morning diving into God's Word, transformed, saying we're going to do something together. And when I think about our ministry of reaching out and becoming, we're taking steps to keep getting more involved in our community. We're expanding our missions trips and missions partnerships this year to get involved in. And we're just going to see how we grow when we stretch ourselves in those experiences. We're continuing to bolster our Park Kids ministry and our student ministry and our Americans ministry. So many different ways that we see God growing and expanding what we're doing in this coming year. And regardless of the programs and the methods and the ministries, you need to know that we are committed to serving Christ, to giving everything that we have. We are focused. We're going to keep preaching the gospel unashamedly. We're going to keep opening our doors to people. We will do whatever it takes to help people experience life to the fullest in Christ. When I think about that speech that Martin Luther King Jr. gave, there was another line in that speech that caught me this time around. He said this. He said, "I say to you today, my friends, that in spite of the difficulties and frustrations of the moment, I still have a dream." And maybe that's a verse, a line that you need to claim for yourselves and whatever it is that you're going through. And I know for us together, as a church and ministry, it's never easy as we try to reach a world that doesn't maybe want to have much to do with Christ and surrendering their lives and understanding what God has. We can have frustrations and challenges, but it does not deter us from the dream that we have. I know a dream brought me here to Meadow Park. And I believe that when I looked at this church and we had the conversations of coming, and I was told about the wonderful history of this church, the 50 years plus of making a difference and watching people grow in faith and in Christ, and also hearing that it's time for a new season and that this congregation is eager to be more outward focused, to reach the next generation, to see young people coming in. I felt that this was a place that I could come, bringing my experiences from very traditional churches to super modern churches where we'd meet in bars and in golf clubs, to being in schools, to a modern church, I've sang in choirs and been in Bible studies. And I just felt like God was saying, this is the place where it can come together. And I felt like he had called me to stand in the tension of where the church has been and where the church is going, and knowing that there are challenges and there are struggles. But if we want to experience what God has for us, we need to stand firm in the conviction of where he's calling us and the direction where we are going. And he will guide us there, and he is guiding us there. We want to experience what Christ has for us. And we want to go forward with the conviction that we will do whatever it takes to experience life to the fullest in Christ and to help other people experience that richness in him. How do you need to join this mission? How can you align your vision and say, I want to be about that? Maybe it's time to take that step and saying, I've been on the fringe of community and I want to experience that belonging. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to meet somebody at Take Five. I'm going to go to Discover MPC and hear more about the church. I want to sign up for a small group. I want to get around others and into community. It's time for me to do that. You focus on that, your life will change. You'll move in the direction of Christ. When it comes to believing, maybe it's taking that next step of faith and you've been, again, just watching and hearing what God is doing. It's time to say, I'm taking a step of faith today. I give my life to Christ. Here's my life. I'm beginning this journey. Maybe for you it's saying, I've given my life to Christ, but I've not shared that with others to let them know the hope that I have through baptism. And I want to take that step of joy and obedience and letting this community know I am all in with the body of Christ. And so you say, I'm taking that step of baptism, or I want to know more about that. Taking a step of courage. What is that step of faith? Reading God's word, getting into his word, praying. Take a step. When it comes to becoming and saying, well, how do I get involved and find my purpose? And saying, you know what, it's time for me to serve in some capacity. Let's see where I can be used in our Park Kids ministry or in our student ministry, or in our hosting teams, or in our worship ministry, or in our outreach ministry. So many different ways for you to be involved and say, I've got something to offer here, and I want to be part of a bigger purpose. It's time for me to invest my resources, my finances, to say, let's do this. Let's take this mission seriously as a church. Count me in. When we can get focused together as a church, walking in step, belonging, believing, and becoming, what God can do through us is powerful. He's been doing it, and he will continue to do it. And I'm so excited for what God has for us in this year as we link arms and focus on the mission that God has called us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when I think about your clarity of focus, God, coming to this world, sending your son, Jesus Christ, to show us the way to life, that it comes through sacrifice, through laying down our life in order to find new life. And Father, the mission, the purpose you have called us to invest ourselves fully, to give you everything we have, our love, all of us, God, loving you with everything we have, loving those around us, Father, and being on mission to invite them into this amazing journey of becoming your disciple and experiencing what it means to just have life to the fullest in Christ. God, renew us with that mission today. Just guide us in that passion. Help us each to take a step in that direction. And Father, I just pray for our church. Your kingdom is so much larger than Meadow Park. We combine with churches all around this entire globe, Lord, on this mission together. But Lord, we have a purpose that you have called us to here, right in this place, right here on Bethel Road and in Powell and where others are joining online. God, you have called us to make an impact in our community and the people around us. May we focus on that this year and discover just the joy of being on mission together with you. We love you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.